Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, starting in the middle. It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. This is the text. Warn you early on, I'm going to come back to the picture of the birds and push beyond where you're supposed to in the parable, so you know it's coming. The basic theme in the parable is the Word of God, it's like seed. And it's very apt, very good parable and description, because there are things in this world that start out very small, but with the power of God, they become very great. Now, just think about how the world begins, and it begins with God saying, and simple words in English, four of them, let there be light, and then the whole creation starts in. Or Adam and Eve formed one from the dust of the ground, one from a rib, and with the Word of God blessing them, God blesses and says, fill the earth, destines the whole of mankind to fill the earth. Or the beginning of the nation of Israel starts out with one man who has the Word of God come to him, who believes that Word of God, who follows that Word of God, and so Abraham becomes the father of Israel and father of many nations. Or our own beginning begins as Christians. Most of us, it starts at this spot with a splash of water and some words. But the water combined with the Word of God. And that Word of God begins something, plants the seed of God, the seed of the Word of God in the heart. And that's the beginning. Now, baptism. Question number three, how can water do such great things? It is certainly not the water that does them, but the Word of God in and with the water, and faith which trusts this Word of God in the water that does these things. So it's the Word of God all the time. Christian faith can be summed up in one verse. You know it, it's John 3:16. We can recite it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the whole thing. Or you could look out into the world and see that little things become great. This is Flag Day, right? Our nation begins with an idea. And the idea is expressed in, well, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and so on. And that idea of where a nation stands in relationship to the people of the nation, but more especially in relationship with God, and where a people stands in their rights and freedoms relative to God, is an idea that takes root and starts spreading. And now in our day, people from all over the world want this that we have, want these freedoms. And people seek to come to this nation because of those freedoms. So, not only in religion, also in regular life does it hold true that there is a little seed that is planted and grows. But this part has become easier in the last few years to say as a pastor, because we've seen some things happening in our nation, and I can say to you as a pastor, remember, we are looking for a better kingdom. Remember, our citizenship, our real citizenship, it's not here, it's in heaven. Abraham was looking for a kingdom. A better kingdom. Abraham was looking for a city whose foundations were not made by human hands, but were made by God. That's the letter to the Hebrews. Contrast. Last week we had the epistle lesson that said, 2 Corinthians 4:16, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Remember. Remember whose you are and where you truly belong. So Jesus begins the church. He begins the church with 12 disciples. He begins the church with a message. He begins the church by rising from the dead. He begins the church by sending the disciples out, and they go into the whole world and they bring a message. What's the message? Christ is risen. And so that message spreads to, in our day, even to the backwoods of Papua New Guinea, where you go through the backwoods there and you can find the cross carved into tree trunks. Why? Because the name of Jesus is a name of power, and even those who don't know him know the impact of the name of Jesus, the kingdom of God. Like the seed, the kingdom of God begins in that way. It's like the mustard seed, tiny, but that seed planted in the heart begins to do things, starts to grow. The Holy Spirit works through that seed, works through that word of God. And sometimes people try and wander off from it, and they run from the word of God, and God keeps on chasing them with his word. He keeps on following them. One of my favorite books, Jesus Rediscovered by Malcolm Muggeridge, tells how he tried to escape from God, and God kept on pursuing him until he turned around and faced the idea that Jesus lives. And then, well, the rest of his life has been standing up for Christianity. The Word of God. In the Gospels, Jesus speaks a Word of God and things happen. Here's one. Take courage, your sins are forgiven. What happens? The young man's sins are forgiven. But that's not visible, is it? It's followed up by, rise, take up your bed and walk. And now, that young man rises, takes up his bed and walks. Jesus says to the lepers, be cleansed. To the deaf man, he says, Ephatha, be opened. And the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. He stands outside Lazarus' tomb and says, Lazarus, come forth. So that word of God is tremendous power. Even Lazarus has to come forth because the word of God has been spoken to him. But we had that first parable, as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and sleeps and rises night and day, and he doesn't know how. He goes out one morning and he sees the seedlings. He keeps going to bed at night, rising in the morning, and they keep getting bigger. And first it's the plant, then the head of grain, and then the full grain in the head. And then it's time for the harvest. See, this is a parable, I think, in part to pastors, many of whom spend many years preaching that word of God and not sure what effect it's actually having. The word of God and the work of the word of God is sometimes very invisible for a very long time. And then all of a sudden it's there. God's word is like that. For parents, for friends to friends, sharing Christianity, speaking that word of God. So often it stays invisible for years. And then the word of God bursts forward, and what was planted as a tiny seed that has been taking root, that has been slowly growing, that has been working away and working away at the human heart, And then something happens, and that Word of God and the response to the Word of God is, all of a sudden you see it. He knows not how. That's what the parable says. He knows not how. But there it is. Now, here comes the part where we force the parable into uncomfortable territory, because back in seminary they said, parables have their basic meaning, and you stick with the basic meaning, and you don't push past that, or you get into all kinds of a mess. Occasionally there's a parable where it's interesting to push it along more than just a little bit further. So, the parable of the mustard seed. It's planted, it's tiny. God's Word gets into our heart. God's Word planted in our world begins to grow. And first there were 12 disciples, and then Book of Acts, it's several thousand. And then they stop trying to count. And it starts spreading all over the place, and it becomes this great mustard bush that's bigger than the plants of the garden, and birds come and shelter in its branches and make nests there and all kinds of things like that. Well, going step by step through this, first part's pretty safe. The seed is the Word of God. The Word of God planted begins to grow. And the kingdom of God is that Word of God planted again and again and again in one heart after another, after another, after another. And as it grows, it begins to fill the earth all over the place in the world. What exactly is that Word of God? That Word of God is the message about Jesus Christ, about His dying and rising for our forgiveness, for our life. That message is about Jesus Christ, who is the Savior, the only Savior given, who could die for our sins, who could conquer death and bring us life that's eternal, who is the only one that can take that Word of God, that eternal Word of God, and bring it to us. See, His Word is something very special in that, being the Word of God, it makes things happen. And when Jesus is the one who speaks to you, remember that He is the one who said, your sins are forgiven, and Father, forgive them, and Lazarus, come forth. He is the one who by His Word brings life to us. He is the one who has the eternal Word of God. He is the one who was a part of this thing in the beginning, let there be light. He is the one who said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will never pass away. So there's an eternal business about this Word of God. He is the one whose Word was so important that we dwell on this subject kind of from now until we get to John chapter 6 in August and September. And in John chapter 6, after the feeding of the 5,000, there's the back and forth. And Jesus says, my flesh is life for the world. And while some are leaving, Jesus turns to Peter, says, will you go also? And Peter says these great words, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So it's that Word that comes to us, that Word that is planted deep in our soul, that Word that changes the human heart, that is the new beginning for us, where we are made entirely new beings by that Word of God. And now that Word of God spreading through all the world, and the birds of the air can nest in its shade. What are these pictures in the parable? Well, the plant is the Word of God. The plant is the kingdom of God. The plant is God's people. The birds of the air, on the other hand, they are the not God's people flying along all by themselves, searching for some place to find rest and shelter, searching for a place to find home, and they can't find it, and they can't find it. And then they find this kingdom of God growing here, and they come in, and they find the rest they need. They find shelter for the soul. They find life from the Word of God. We're about to push the parable past where we should. About to. But this far. Yeah. And it's an amazing thing that people from all over the world are coming into the kingdom of God. Why, at this point, it's 1/3 of humanity. 2 billion people or more are claiming the name of Jesus as the name by which they are saved. Isn't that amazing? But pushing the parable past the point where I'm told that you should, what actually happens to those birds? They were off on their own. They were isolated. They were without God, without shelter, without hope, without life, and doomed to die in that way, and then nothing but judgment. But come into the kingdom of God, they become part of the kingdom of God. In the image of the parable, it's like the birds have now turned into part of the bush. What's that? The birds have become part of the bush. Those who wandered far from God have become part of the kingdom of God. And God has his word in their hearts and souls and on their lips, and they, birds, bush, they sing the praises of God. They are part of us now, or we are part of it now. And the word of God on our lips then calls to others out there and says, come to this place. Come to the kingdom of God. You're wandering far from God. You're alone. In this kingdom of God, you connect with God. You connect with eternal things. You connect with life. You connect with forgiveness of sins. And we who have been sinners, we who are sinners, we know how good this is to be within the kingdom of God. We are being made new. Come on in. And if they will come in, they will also become part of the bush. What a strange picture. What a transforming thing that God can change our very nature and make us into what we were not. And how sweet it is to be changed and no longer be off on our own and very alone and without hope and shelter and without the joy of the kingdom of God, and then to come in and find in Jesus, because only in him is there rest for the soul. What is it St. Augustine said? There's a God-shaped hole in every human heart, and we are restless until we rest in thee. In Jesus' name, amen.